Hello there. Welcome to Cool Climate Living. I'm Susan Lacey. You know, our region is blessed with creative people, inspired by our landscape and the community we live in. In Orange, a group of artists managed to set up an artist collective at the barracks that was originally set up for railway workers. Today, it's a thriving art space for creating and exhibiting their art. Today, we'll hear how the barracks was established by these Colour City creatives and how it continues to inspire local artists. I'd like to welcome Joy Engelman to the program. Joy is an artist in Orange, and she's lived in Orange all of her life, and for 42 years of those, she lived on the land. She tells me she's been an artist ever since she was a child. Joy, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, Susan.
Now, tell me about your history as an artist.
Grew up as a child, always painting and loving to paint. I think most children do love art in some form or another, singing, dancing, or writing, or whatever it may be. I particularly like playing with paint, so I started at a very early age and never ever put the brush down.
Were your parents artists?
No, my parents aren't artists. I do have aunts that were puppeteers in Norway, and there were a lot of musicians in the family, so more of a musical family than a painting family.
Do you feel as if you're driven to be an artist?
Absolutely. I dream art when I go to sleep at night, and when I'm travelling through the landscape or walking around the countryside, I see things that just stick with me visually as an image. I like the balance, the colour, the shape, the form, and I just have to paint it. I go to bed and I paint it all night, and the next day I usually put brush to paper and paint something from it. It's lovely. It's a lovely way of being, actually.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is. And do you have a particular style, or how would you describe it?
I've got various styles because I'm also an art teacher, so I have to teach students different ways of seeing and different ways of painting and how to get that onto paper and canvas. So over the years, you know, over the 50 years I've been painting, I've actually developed a lot of ways of painting, and I have a lot large palette that I draw on as well. But there are things within my work that you can actually pick out as me, because I have certain ways of painting trees and birds and things that you go, oh, this is a Joy Engelman.
Now, by the way, for our listening audience, I know it's always very difficult to actually describe a painting, but because you have a website, perhaps our listeners could go and have a look at some of your work so that it'll bring it to life for them. What is the website?
Yes, if they look up Joy Engelman Gallery, they'll find it. Mm. But they have to be careful to spell my name correctly, because it's E-N-G-D-L-M-A-N. And then they'll find me.
Okay, fantastic. Now, I had a look at your website, and I noticed that you do a number of artists' trips. What's the story about that?
Well, 10 or 11 years ago, I found this amazing place in the Flinders Ranges called Arkaroola. And it excited me so much as a landscape painter, visually and texturally and in colour. So I started asking my friends and students if they wanted to come with me. And over the last 10 years we've done, I think I personally have done about 14 journeys, and they've all been accompanied. I've been accompanied by a lot of people at different times.
You sound as if you enjoy having people around you when you're painting.
I like to teach. I do enjoy teaching. I find it easy to paint in front of people. I'm fortunate that way, that I don't get all shy and tied up, but that also comes from teaching for a very long time. And then other times I like to just paint on my own and be in my own space.
Another thing I noticed on your website was a reference to wilderists. What's that about?
Well, it's been a bit of a journey, because I've got a group of around 30 people who are mostly painters, some are photographers, that have come with me into the bush. And because we've gone to a various number of locations now and created a large body of work, we got together and formed a thing called the Wilderists. And we've had our first exhibition out at Grenfell together. We had another one at Capertee Royal Hotel. We've had three exhibitions. We also had exhibitions as the Wild Women of Arkaroola Plus, which was what we used to call ourselves. And we had one in Woollahra, which was extremely successful, and one at the barracks in Orange, which was extremely successful. So a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun getting together and painting together, travelling together, and I think we've all enjoyed it. And the idea behind wilderism is anything goes. You don't have to worry about being taught to paint a tree a particular way. If you want to paint it as a lollipop, you can. If you want to paint it as a stick, you can. It's just about you enjoying the art of seeing, the enjoyment of painting together and the enjoyment of being together and showing your work to people.
Do you find that you're able to engage with a community of artists because you are a regional artist yourself?
I think the nature of being an artist is a solo journey. And what happens with us as artists, we sometimes go out into the world to find like-minded people, people who think like us. And we don't always find them easily. So by creating a community of artists, what happens is artists can then get together with people they know, feel and think the same way as they do. So you've got a commonality that brings you together. And I guess it's like any club where people play bridge or play the pokies or whatever they do together. It's just having that common interest that you all like.
Do you think it's more difficult for you being a female and a regional artist compared to being in a big city?
It's definitely more difficult to make an income from art. Mm. You cannot. As a woman in the arts and as a regional artist, you have to jump hoops through hoops that other artists in the city don't have to jump through. You get a lot of patronising comments about the fact that, oh, you're only a woman, or you're from the bush. People, the city galleries don't tend to take you on. I've been fortunate in my early life when I had a lot more energy, when I was younger, that I did have City Gallery, a very well-known one, represent me for a number of years. Mm. So that helped me at that time. But then having children and having to raise them and having to break away from and not having the time and energy to go to the city, I found there was a great break in my career. Mm. And to break back into the city was very difficult. So now as an older woman, I haven't got the energy to run down to the city and try to break down barriers. I haven't got the patience anymore to deal with those sort of people. So I virtually said, damn it, I'll just do things here at home and surround myself with local people that I know and love. It is very, very hard. There are real barriers to women, regional women in the arts particularly.
When did you join the Barracks Art Gallery?
The Barracks was formed, from memory, about 9 years ago. Aida Pottinger approached me at the time. She had a vision to create an arts community but with working studio spaces. So I said, yes, count me in. And indeed, I was the second studio rented after Aida. So I've been there since the inception. And it's been a wonderful initiative, absolutely magical.
I can't imagine, in fact, I don't even know of any other, if we can call it an institution, any other galleries or workshops like this.
Yeah, it's an arts community or an arts space, I think is the correct terminology. And there are several, but they're not as large as our art space. They're not as well established as ours. The other thing about our art space is it's totally funded by the artists. We have no government funding for it. So it is unique in the way it's set up.
And how does that impact your art practice?
For me, when I retired, I took up art because I was medically retired with two bouts of heart failure. And the doctor told me I couldn't cope with stress anymore, so I had to live a stress-free life. Well, that's a joke, but anyway. The most stress-free life I could consider was being an artist. So the Barracks came along at an opportune time for me and in a sense gave me a focus where I could just leave my art there on the table and lock it up and come back to it the next day or the next week or the next month. And for $20 a week, it's been an absolute boon. And not only that, it gave me a group of friends, as I say, a community that I belong to, many of whom have become very good friends and who are there to support you and listen to your ideas. So it's been really lovely to have that sort of companionship and camaraderie that the group has given me, particularly. Mm. And I think that the core group of us who seem to have been there for a very long time all feel that way about us. We're very protective of Colour City Creatives, and we've got really lovely members. We've got 46 members, I believe, currently, and they're all really wonderful people.
And has this interaction changed in any way the way you paint or the types of work that you do?
I think what it's done is it has strengthened my ability as an artist because people come along, they go, oh, wow, isn't that fantastic, and you can talk to them about it.
Mm.
You get feedback constantly, so instead of waiting to have an exhibition, like in the past, to get the feedback of whether you're on the right path or not, you can actually get feedback every week if you need it, because you can go and talk about your work to others and invite them into your room and tell them your ideas, and you can actually fast-track your ideas because of that. So I think it's actually very good to be in that sort of situation. I would advise anyone who is an artist and working alone and quite timid about their work to really join a group of some kind. So I think the positive feedback's been great. And the other lovely thing about Colour City Creatives is the fact that we have our three festival events each year, so where we're open to further tourists that come to town mainly at that time, and to get people coming through from all over New South Wales and the city and looking at our work and saying how wonderful it is and what a wonderful space, that also feeds your soul and keeps you wanting to be an artist. So that's all positive stuff.
I bet it would be.
Because other people who work have got their people around them, you know, and they've got the results of their work. And if you work in a shop, you're talking daily to people. But you don't get that if you're just working alone at home. That's a hard place to be painting from.
Are there times, though, where you feel as if you need to be alone?
Oh, yes. They all know that we have a rule up there, and the rule is if the studio door is closed, you do not knock because the artist is working. So if the studio door is ajar, then, okay, you can knock and go in. But there are also, too, there's only 12 studios available at any one time, and most people tend to come paint at different times of the day because the muse visits us all at different times.
Yes.
So it's not like we're all working in the building at once. We're not. And the only time that other membership is there, the general membership, is just before exhibitions, the festival events, when they're hanging their works in the building and getting prepared for the exhibition. During the exhibition, it's pretty full on. And then other than that, it's our social meeting each month.
So we've talked a bit about the impact that other people have had on your art. Do you feel as if you're having an impact on others?
Oh, I think I've had a pretty major impact on a few people.
How does that work?
Well, you know, particularly in our trips out to the outback, my love of the outback has definitely come through in the work of the others. And one of my wilderers now runs an art show on the Central Coast called Art at Work, and that's an art show annually that's held in a factory. And she developed that through coming to my classes and seeing Colour City Creatives and travelling with me. And that's another great initiative that's grown out of the wilderness. So, yes, I have had an impact on a lot of people. So that's good.
Well, both as an art teacher and now probably more as a mentor to others, I guess.
I am a mentor. And the other thing I think that people learn from me is that I believe art is soul work. I don't believe it's a trade. I don't believe it's a job. I don't believe you should do art for money. I believe you should do art because you love it. You should write poetry. You should write novels. You should write, sing songs, dance, make music, paint paintings, be in theatres because you want to be. That's who you truly are at your soul level. And if you are true to your soul, it doesn't matter whether you get paid or not. The government has a focus of trying to make the arts generally into jobs, but it doesn't work. You can't paint good paintings if you're working like a factory. It doesn't work that way. So you've got to be inspired. You've got to want to do it. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from the deepest part of yourself. And I think I've given my students that allowance to be themselves, that they don't have to worry if they don't sell. They don't have to worry if they don't exhibit. They don't have to worry if they're not as good as so-and-so. All they have to do is because they want to do it and they love to do it. That's the important part of art, is the creation of it. The rest of it's just add-ons. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter.
It sounds like it's a vocation rather than a job. Is that a better word?
It is a calling, yes, it is a calling. And definitely I have had to be an artist. There's no way I could have not been an artist in my life. And when I haven't been able to paint, I've got terribly, terribly miserable. So for me, it's a release. And look, I've got a stack of art that's just sitting in a box. It'll never be seen. It'll never be sold. It's just there. And that doesn't matter. It can sit there. The important thing was for me to be able to go into that space inside myself and create something from it. That was the important part, because at that stage, you release a lot of angst, anxiety, depression, all those things tend to lift in that sheer act of doing something.
That sounds wonderful.
Well, geez, it's good, and we've lost it. You can make a dress, cook a cake, I mean, from the same part. We need to be doing stuff for ourselves, not allowing corporations to take over our lives. Corporations now want to do everything for us from the moment we go to bed at night and wake up the next morning and all through the next day, 24/7. They want to be in control of us. So we've got to wear the clothes they say, we've got to drive the cars they say, we've got to live in the houses they say, eat the food that they make. We can't even grow our own vegetables now. But we need to be doing that all for ourselves to give our life meaning. That's really important.
We've been listening to Joy Engelman. Joy, an artist, an orange artist, having lived on the land for a very long period of time, and has given us a wonderful understanding of her creative journey. Thank you very much for joining me today, Joy.
Thank you, Susan.
We're now joined by Aida Pottinger. Aida has been an artist for over 20 years, and it was Aida who was the instigator of the barracks in Orange. Now, why did you do that?
Why did I do that? Why and how? Probably the same things. I was a student at Orange TAFE. I was doing a diploma in fine arts. And when it gets to like the end of the course, it becomes very intense. Everybody's working on their projects. And we actually had the diploma students a little room downstairs in the art block. And we were working by ourselves, but we would come together and start discussing like the whole art project. Projects that we were doing very much influenced people were trying things. And what do you do after any kind of arts education? Who teaches you? If you're an apprentice mechanic, you go and work in a garage. If you're an apprentice painter, you go and work for a painting company before you set out on your own. As an artist, you don't have that luxury. You're not an apprentice. You used to be an apprentice back in Michelangelo's day, but not anymore. And we sat down and we discussed the problems, that there is nobody to lead you on. And I decided, I have these mad, crazy little things every now and then. What happens if we can do this? We need some premises. So we sat down and discussed, you know, which premises. We looked at a lot of places in Orange. And it was really difficult because there are not a lot of empty buildings in Orange, and not a lot of empty buildings that are suitable. And I remember actually seeing the barracks building, and I had moved to Orange in about 1991, and I'd driven past this building, and forever it had a to let sign on it. Anyway, the first time I rang up, the real estate agent said, oh, no, somebody's got the key, that's just about to be let. So this is probably 2007. 6 months later, I ring up, no, it's still about to be let. I'm going, 6 months? This is ridiculous. And my partner at the time actually knew somebody who worked for State Rail. It's a State Rail building, and it's a heritage building as well. And he said, let me get on to, I can't remember his name, and I'll see what the go is. Anyway, he rings up. Pete did most of the work for this. He did all the hard yards. He tracked the person down. And so finally we get a thing, and it's not actually run by State Rail. It's run by obviously somebody that they've contracted out to actually do like the rental thing. And it came back it was being handled by a different estate agent. So the first estate agent lied to me about that he was actually handling it, which was really disappointed and very much noted. Mm-hmm. And the second estate agent said, oh, yeah, I've got the keys. Why do you want to look around it? And I remember sort of saying, well, we're just looking at this thing for a community arts project. Anyway, they gave me the keys and I went to look around it. I went to look around it with Joy Engelman, actually, as well. And she's part of our artist community. And she's going, oh, yeah, this would be great, this would be great. 2 years passed. No word back. We sort of said, yeah, we'd like to rent this. Anyway, so the asset manager came back and kind of sort of said, yeah, the market rent is some huge amount. I don't know whether I should say it online and I don't think I will. It was some huge amount that was totally ridiculous per week. Mm. And I said, oh, well, we're artists. We've got no money because we do things because we like to create, not because we like to make money, just because we like to create things. Anyway, so it came back and she said, well, can you just make me an offer? I said, well, you know how you said per week? And she said, yes. I said, well, if it would have been half of that per year, we can afford it. She said, I'll take it to the boss. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, she rings back and she said, yeah, but you'll have to double the rent after the first year. I went, okay, that's fine. And at this stage, it was really funny because it was Marcus Westbury who was introduced to us as a, well, Aileen and I, sort of like two of the founding members, introduced to us at an Arts Out West, like a little seminar thing. He's actually the head of Renew Newcastle and had put sort of people into all these empty buildings in Newcastle. And anyway, we went to a thing by him and we said to him, so how did you do it? And he said, well, because the insurance was the breaker was the insurance, how much insurance it was. And I remember him saying to us, it's $5,000 for the insurance. It was part of a group, pretty much like we were, this was like a small group of about five people. And he said, I was the only one with a job. And he said, but I had a job and a credit card. Pretty much inspired by that and went to Aileen. I said, we've both got jobs. We've both got an income. You know, we can afford to do this because it wasn't that much money when it all turned out. The insurance was a bit of a whack, but we thought we could cover it. Yeah. And so anyway, we sort of did the maths and we did the thing. And then there was the whole committee and the incorporation of the doodaddy what's-its. And it was just crazy. And it was way beyond our ken. We had nobody that knew what they were doing. And this lovely lady called Chris Wade was looking, because we'd advertise it. We've got a few stories in the newspaper. I used to work for the newspaper in Orange, so it's really easy to get a story in when you know who you need to talk to. And we talked in the newspaper. We had a meeting. It was well publicised. And this lovely lady called Chris Wade, who was super organised, sort of joined us and said, yes, yeah, we need to sort of like form this committee and this is how we do it. And she gave us all the official bump. And I filled in the paperwork and sent off the money and we're away. We are absolutely away. And we sort of like get possession of the building. We're going, oh my goodness, we can't even afford the electricity. You're not allowed to tell you can't afford any electricity. Anyway, surprisingly, quite a few people came along and we rented the studios out. We only charged $20 a week to rent the studios out. Really cheap rent for artists means even people on social security can afford it.
Yes.
You know, you just have to give up a couple of things and you can afford to be there. I think they're all currently rented now, the studios. And we haven't put the price up at all.
So did you get any funding for this?
No. Oh, it's too hard. I went on a grant writing application course and I remember actually sort of doing all the paperwork and I went, who wants to do this? It's crazy. Why would you want to do that? And anyways, so Aileen and I sort of like threw our few hundred dollars in and it was only going to cost us. We took a punt and we paid the first month's insurance. The insurance broker sort of said, yeah, I can organise you like a monthly payment. It's going to be a little bit more expensive when but that's okay because if we have to leave, we have to leave. Mm-mm. Anyway, so we set the whole Colour City Creatives Inc up and off it went. And it has been a bit of a ball, really. It's been lovely. It's brought a lot of people together. It's given people a place to come and meet and talk about art. It's a really good resource that is probably still underutilised by the art community in Orange.
And it's open every month, isn't it?
They open on the Farmers Market Day. And they get quite a few people through. We have a big opening and like a week of opening on the, you know, when the Orange do their food week, wine week, Banjo Patterson week and whatever they do. So we're always open for the week there for the exhibition. So that brings quite a lot of people through as well, which is lovely. And we do sell work, which is really exciting. So the original concept was just going to be a work studio. It was just going to be a studio. It wasn't going to be a gallery. And I remember that Joy Engelman came and she said, we've got to have a gallery. We've got to have exhibitions because it'll give us something to work towards. Because everybody's kind of like just meandering around, you know, throwing paint on the carpets and things like that. And so it was Joy that pushed for that, and I think that was 2012. So it took us 3 years to get there, to even get to opening it up for the public. And there were various hurdles that we had to jump, but it all came together. And now we have monthly meetings. I'm no longer involved. I went overseas for the last 4 years. I've been overseas.
I mean, I know that you wanted artists to have a premises.
Yeah.
That you wanted them to have a building where they could just be there, where they could just do their work. What were your thoughts about the impact of that on the community itself?
Well, it's funny because I didn't actually think it would impact on the community, but then I've worked out through that and various other activities I've been involved in how easy it is to build a community with no money whatsoever, just by having an idea and bringing somebody else along, who then brings somebody else along. It's like Facebook. Except it's in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, you kind
much
of like...
Nicer people
much nicer. Yeah, much nicer, and people don't say nasty things to your face very often. Sometimes they do, but not very often. I remember that when I'd worked at the Central Western Daily, I had actually met a couple called Phil and Yola, Phil's now the president, and Yola is the secretary, publicity. She does everything, absolutely everything. Yeah. And I'd met them and I was telling them about it. It was at some art exhibition, I think it was, at the Orange Regional Gallery. And I'd met them and sort of like dragged them on board, and I'd dragged another person on board. So it's really, I think, because of my enthusiasm towards getting artists to work together, everybody keeps getting sucked along in the current. Now they have created their own current, and they're going really, really well. So, and the standard of artwork, when I look back to the first exhibition that we had and I looked at the standard of artwork there and I compare it to now and I go, oh my goodness, this has been huge for a lot of people. Huge, because they've learned off other people, they've reacted with other people. Joy's taken a group which I think are called the Wilders now, down to our Karuna. It has been huge, absolutely huge on these people, and it does give people a place to go. The sports are very well catered for, but the arts, it's kind of like, oh, just shovel that under the table. They can all go and do that on their dining room table.
Yes.
It doesn't quite work like that.
No,
so it's lovely to have a place where you can leave all your gear, you can leave it half done, go home, cook dinner, eat dinner, whatever you're going to do, and then come back to it the next day and you know that it's all going to be there and you've not had to pack it up because the kids are running around the table or visitors are coming or whatever reason that you can't leave your artworks.
Do you think that the very fact of having so many people all working in the one space, do you think that has had much of an impact on the way people are thinking about their own art practice?
Yeah, very much so. The part of the instigation of the barracks was the fact that even though you were working alone, you could still bounce ideas off other people, and other people could be inspired by what you did and try different things, and that still works to some extent. And the artists that are not as experienced as we've got a lot of artists that have come in that have not actually had formal training, and we've got a lot of artists that have had formal training, and just the knowledge that people can impart to others is absolutely amazing. You can sit and look at it and you go, oh, I really like that colour scheme. I really like the way she's constructed that. I don't like the way he's framed that. He's put it in a really crappy frame. It's never, ever going to sell. You know, there are all sorts of bits and pieces that actually that come together to make a piece of artwork, sort of something that somebody will walk in and go, that resonates with me. I feel what that artist has done on that piece of paper, card, canvas, stick of wood, whatever they've done.
Yeah. And do you feel a sense of satisfaction that you managed to get it all to come together and to see it looking so successful?
Yeah, I am so proud of it. I'd love to do one in Millthorpe. There's another girl that's there, Zoe Newman, well-educated sailor, and we're busily working on how we are going to actually get this Millthorpe artist thing going. And and I know she has been trying to do it for a long time. It's one of those things, it kind of burbles away underneath the surface. And there are quite a lot of artists in Millthorpe, which makes it a little bit easier. But like I say, we just need that person to come and organise it. We need the detail person. Yeah, I'm the big picture person. We need the detail person to come and sort of say, OK, this is what we've got to do.
It sounds as if you just can't help yourself. Ida, it's been terrific talking to you today. And it's been an amazing story of getting something coming together out of absolutely nothing in the first place. Thanks, Ida. Now, I would like us to welcome Lanny McKenzie to the program. Lanny is a very keen fibre artist and has done a lot of work in weaving with natural fibres. Lanny was born in Bandung in Indonesia, and both her father and her grandfather were artists of different kinds, and it's obviously been a big inspiration for you, hasn't it, Lanny?
Yes, totally.
How long have you been practicing art?
I suppose I grew up surrounded by art, but in 2002, while living in Condoblin, there was a basket weaving group, and I joined that, and I thought that really sort of sparked my interest, and I just felt that basket weaving is the avenue that suits me. And then when I moved to Orange in 2006, with the new Orange Hospital, there was a community weaving project, and they were calling for volunteers from community members. Would you like to join this weaving project? So I was involved with that, part of the weaving huge sculptures. Mm. So there's somebody who weld these metal sculptures, and then yeah, we just sort of weave bits of the sculptures, and it's still standing there, so that was very lovely to see every time I visit the hospital.
Sounds lovely. I must pay attention to it. Whereabouts is it?
As you walk in, there's the cafe that's run by the volunteers.
Yes.
If you look outside in the outdoor courtyard, there's animals. There's, I think mine was called a pigweed. It's a weed, but also it's edible weed.
Okay.
It looks like a love heart. So that's the one closest to the window.
It's always a little bit difficult talking about art when you're on the radio. So it's good when people can have an opportunity to actually go and see it. Now, Lanny, how did you get involved in the barracks in the first place?
I was actually introduced to the barracks by another artist, Joy Engelman. I can't remember where I met her or how I met her, but she just said, you know, like, well, there's this group of us, Arty Farty, for Orange and surrounding area. Why don't you come to one of our social meeting and bring some of your art so you can show people what you do? Mm. And they said, you know, majority of us are painters, watercolors, oils, and all sorts. But I don't think we have a weaver. Mm. Oh, all right, I'll come. And I think, and I actually met another weaver then, Eileen Francis, and I thought, oh, great. I think I was just trying to find somebody else to sort of understand the way my brain works.
Yeah.
And even though everybody practiced their own arts, everybody sort of was so welcoming, and they're so friendly, and they're so encouraging, and that's where I felt like, I think this is the group I want to be part of.
How long have you been involved in the barracks?
Maybe 5-6 years, but last year I volunteered to be the treasurer, so that was a big step, because before you were just a social exhibiting member, and it's like, now you sort of help to run the group, and it is such a complicated mixture of, you know, about 30 artists.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah. But it's always feel like a family, so that's that.
Does it? Mm.
That lovely feeling that I just thought, yes, you can belong to this group.
And how do you think it's, so you've been there for, you know, about 5 years now. Mm. excuse me. How has would you say that being involved at the barracks has had an impact on your own art?
Yes, because it's mainly the encouragement. Sometimes you're not sure, you know, like, is this good enough? Would anybody like it? And I think the every person that you meet, because we have four major exhibiting events at the barracks, but throughout the every month, we're always open to the public, and you can bring in your art. You can sort of get other people's opinion, and they say, yes, why don't you, you know, keep going wherever that direction. But also just the advice about dealing with galleries, tips about running workshops, you know, what works, what doesn't work.
That's right, because you do run workshops, don't you?
Yes, yes, all over. And workshop, it doesn't matter how much I prepare myself, there's always the unexpected, or everybody learns differently, so you have to sort of try to pass on the knowledge. You know, if it doesn't work this way, and you can see somebody struggling and starting to get frustrated, and then I can bring back that question to the group and say, you know, what do you think? Like, how come, you know, like, when I say it this way, this person still don't get it? And somebody will say, well, how about you try, you know, like, maybe demonstrating it, or maybe get somebody else to demonstrate. And then, and it's just all these advice and tips that sort of flow, you know, backwards and forwards. So that's I feel, that's the main advantage to belong to this group. And also if I say, oh, where can I source this? Oh, I know, you know, so-and-so bought whatever from this particular supplier, why don't you call them up? And it's that networking and sharing resources, the advice and the encouragement.
Now, you said that being involved at the barracks sort of helped you to do a whole range of things, including how to contact galleries. Now, you exhibit your work in a number of different kinds of galleries, don't you?
Yes, some as a solo exhibition, some as a group exhibition. Just sort of making sure, how do you present your work? Like you said, when you're trying to introduce yourself, most people say, weaver. Oh, so you're weaving with the loom, with threads? Say, no. It's a different kind of weaving. So how do you put those words in sort of in written form, trying to sort of more or less sell yourself, sell your art? And how do you take good professional-looking pictures without having to pay for professional photographers? How to present your portfolios, how to make sure you meet deadlines, otherwise, yeah, you miss your chance kind of thing. And, yeah, just trying to be more professional in presenting your work. And also groups like Arts Out West and the Arts Council have been very supportive, just creating networks for us to, you know, exhibit locally, and also sometimes the opportunity to exhibit overseas, which I did in 2013 when part of the cultural exchange program with Derbyshire Arts Council, we went and joined the Wirksworth Festival in Derby. So, yes, there was a group of us, painters, potter, sculpture, harpist, theatre director, and all sorts of different artists that could get connected with the local artists in Derby. And we run workshops, we run exhibitions, we met up for discussion and see how they practice their art and share information, exchange friendships, basically, which is great. So from that particular trip, and that was quite a while ago, 2013, it was just great to create connections, and that resulted, I think the latest is the invitation for me to participate in World Weaving Competition in Poland. So, yeah, I'm going to Poland to weave, which I would never dream of sort of thinking.
Yeah. Do you think that the barracks arts community has helped you to gain confidence to engage in these other involvements, like, for heaven's sake, going off to Poland?
Yes, yes. That was also one of the discussions when I first mentioned in should I apply for this invitation to go to Poland, the cost, the logistics and everything? And everybody was saying, what's there to lose? Apply. even though it's an invitation, you still have to apply.
Yeah.
Then the application be judged by a panel, and then finally the email came, yes, you are successful. We welcome you. And I thought, yeah, definitely, because I keep on saying, asking some of the artists that have exhibited overseas, what is the logistic? How do you send your artwork overseas? Insurance cover? How do you make sure? It's just all these things that, yeah, it's just great to be able to learn from somebody else who's done it, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a whole big world, isn't it? You need to learn.
Yes, and also one of our members is from Poland, so.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
So now you know where to go just to get good coffee.
But, yeah, it's just that reassurance and support, and they all sort of, I suppose we're all artists, we're all sometimes sort of full of self-doubt.
Mm.
When somebody gives you that little nudge to say, come on, try, why not? Yes, that was really encouraging.
Eleni, let's talk about your own art practice. You said that you first got involved in the fibre art when you went to Condobolin. If you were to describe your philosophy of weaving, what would it be?
Weaving for me is about flexibility. Yes, you learn certain techniques to create something, but then it's totally up to me how I can adapt that to create whatever I want. It doesn't always have to be functional item. It could be quite decorative. It could be quite weird to somebody else. They look at it and go, what is that? And I think that's great when you sort of try to explain to somebody, this is how I see it, and then to see that they can finally get what what I'm looking at, what I'm thinking. But also the flexibility of materials. We are reusing natural material and sometimes reclaimed things, because as an artist you don't want to spend too much on materials because the cost.
Yeah.
If you make 10 things, maybe one would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a lot of remaking, unraveling, let's pull that apart again. And also I can just do it wherever and whenever. I can put a project behind, forget about it 2-3 days, come back to it. It's still there, it's waiting, and you can just sort of, oh, all right, you don't look that bad after all. Let me work on you a bit more. Yeah, that flexibility, and I just love working with refuse, you know, rejected things, because we go, oh, those things, they are terrible weeds. And I said, well, that beautiful basket that you just said was nice, that was full of weeds. And it just opened up the way, trying to change that refuse and recycled things. I made things from, you know, detonated cables from the mine, like make from telephone cable casings, and people go, really? What's that? So just a different way to look at 21st century rubbish, and also using techniques that sometimes is so old because basketry has been around for so long.
That's right.
Back home in Bali, people use palm fronds and all this janur to make their offerings. And now I could use the same technique using packing tapes, maybe?
Yeah.
And hay bales, you know, all those things. And plastic strips and discarded posters from the movie theater. Yeah, I get the most amazing presents from my friends. And then my family would look at it and go, what is that? Well, you never know. Yeah, the possibility is so open.
Mm.
And depending how I feel that day, how you know, time, and I could maybe make just something little, or I could make, you know, a 3-meter dragon, like my submission to go to UK.
What are you working on at the moment?
At the moment, it's the submission for Poland.
Oh, yes.
It's a sculpture of a platypus. The skeleton is welded by my friend, who's actually a really talented welder. And then I actually brought him to the barracks, and everybody said, oh, my Lord, look at your ship, Ken. That is amazing. Sort of encouragement, you know, for, because I can see myself. That was me 5 years ago. And I brought my little baskets, my little sculpture, and I thought, is this good enough? Please accept me.
Yeah.
So,
oh, it looks as if it's given you a lot of personal growth as well as an opportunity to extend your art.
And I'm meeting so many different people from my workshops, and every workshop I teach them something, but I always feel I learn so much from every workshop too. It's suppose for all the struggling artists out there,
yes,
you are not alone. Because I think even doesn't matter how successful you are, there's always that self-doubt when you start a project, when you create something. But also it's always so helpful to seek out similar interested people, join a club somewhere, because there's always arts group in your local community. And when you meet kindred spirits, it's just such a lovely feeling to belong.
Lani, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
We've been listening to Lani McKenzie, as you've heard, a fibre artist and who has learnt a lot through her involvement with the barracks. Well, thank you very much, Lani.
Thank you.
I'm Susan Lacey, and thank you very much for joining me today. Join me again next time. Bye for now.